Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Governor Walz, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
What is the latest that you want Minnesotans to know this morning?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Minnesotans. I want to thank them for their patience, for their kindness, for their perseverance. I recognize this has been an incredibly hard week. This has probably been one of the most confusing and disrupting weeks that many Minnesotans have ever seen. We're taking precautions to make sure that when this is over, that we protected our citizens. We've done it in a manner that makes sure that those that are in the most precarious positions, we're lifting them up and protecting them. So I just want folks to know how grateful we are, understanding both the emotional and the financial hardships that are being placed on people. But Minnesotans are doing this, knowing that the actions they take are not only protecting themselves and their families, they're protecting others. So I just want to stress how grateful we are. We're trying to do our very best to get out as much information as we possibly can to try and coordinate with experts, especially in the healthcare and the first responder, and now added to the first responders. And I think it's important to recognize folks that are out there in the grocery stores making sure we can all eat. These folks are putting themselves out front, and I'm grateful for that. So I think the message here is that we're in this for the long haul. We're into the first week here and buckling down, and we'll continue forward together.
Yesterday, Governor, as you well know, that the governor of California issued what he calls a shelter-in-place order. Do you foresee something like that happening here in Minnesota?
Well, I certainly think it is the possibility. And I have to tell you, Dave, that everything I'm getting from the World Health Organization, Crown College, the one that people keep reporting on that came out of the UK, that is probably the best data set. We're getting data set today that we've used the best people over at the University of Minnesota. I know you talked about Mike Osterholm and others. They've been working with us to try and make some of these projections, and then trying to look at where mitigation and suppression are the places that we're at. And we're, we have to have every tool in the toolbox. I hear people, and the concern is that there is no doubt that the dramatic impact that we're seeing economically is going to happen. We'll recover. We'll get back out of that. But I want folks to know it's not as if we're dismissing any of that. It's just that the modeling and the things that show, I think you can probably suspect when we report here later this morning, numbers are going to jump way up, and that is going to be an accelerating pace. This has followed the same pattern in other countries. The only difference is how countries responded. So if it comes to that, and it's my best judgment that that is what protects Minnesotans, we will go to that. As of I'm speaking to you now, that is not the situation where we believe we're at, but I do think those that are doing it in California are seeing data for their particular situation, and that's the right decision.
Governor, what is the status of the Minnesota House and Senate if they need to be recalled, or is remote voting possible?
You know, I know they're talking about it, and I certainly don't want to speak for the legislative branch other than that they have been fantastic in being in communication with us. We are talking as the leaders, and I understand, and then they're rightfully so, that they're trying to make sure democracy still functions. I'm very cognizant of the fact that this is not all about executive action, but I've stressed to them that their time is of the essence. We're trying to do our best to get information to them. We were on last night. I am now setting up a daily briefing with the four leaders to have they see the data that's in front of me almost in real time to help them understand and to be quite honest, to listen to their guidance, to listen to where they're they're feeding back into us. As far as actually the operational side of the legislature, I'm not certain where they're at right now. I know they have researched looking at bigger facilities, maybe using River Center to spread them out. But I can't speak to the remote voting, but it's something we're going to have to figure out, because as I've said, this is our new normal, at least for the coming weeks and potentially months. And we need to make sure that the legislature's voice is being heard and people's democracy is still functioning.
Governor, a couple of weeks ago, we did have a budget surplus, but given this current economic development, will that change? And does that affect any of the virus funding?
Well, it doesn't necessarily affect the virus funding, but as I've told people, I think the one thing is people have a clear understanding of this. I was a month ago when I announced my budget, I was anticipating this is where this would be. So that's why we kept the $1.5 billion on the bottom line. I think it's important for people to understand is our budget reserves are real money in the bank. The budget surplus is projections based on this year's revenues. That is gone now. There's, you know, the projections we're seeing, the unemployment that's out there, is there will not be a surplus. I think what most people understand is that it would probably not be unusual to see that be at a deficit, because now with the recessionary pressures upon us. The good news is for the state of Minnesota that we're in a positive position. We will be able to do the things we need. The unemployment trust fund that we, you know, aggressively got out to people, so we don't see the immediate economic hit on that, is solid for the foreseeable few months. And the federal government is now, I think, finally taking some really decisive action around the financial side of this to help us out. But I think, like, you know, whether it was the post 9/11, which was a shorter but led into, you know, a kind of unified effort around the damage done by that, I think folks need to know this is looking more like a post World War II type of economy. But we will come back out of this much like we did then, but it will be a longer period. And the state of Minnesota is, as I said, as strong a financial place as anywhere in the country. But it, just so people know, is revenues are going to drop way off. We are going to do everything possible to relieve the pressure. That's why I pushed back the sales tax that was due. We'll be pushing back when people need to pay their taxes, following the federal government's lead. And my anticipation is there will be more of those types of things that will, of course, use revenues. But if the federal government or the state government is not doing these things, and I know that for me, being, you know, very fiscally conservative, and I've been talking about this since November, not to spend that money. It's times like this that the only people who can spend are the government, and that's why we need to make sure those safety nets are in place. So I can assure Minnesotans we're in a solid spot. We're thinking long term what this will look like, but we are triaging this with security, safety, and using the data around this pandemic.
Governor, what do you see the role being for the National Guard?
Well, it's National Guard, and again, this is one of those times, again, Minnesotans should be very proud, and I'm certainly grateful. We have the fifth largest amount of National Guard. We've got 13,000 soldiers and airmen that are able to perform countless duties. They're adaptable to be able to move into situations. I think some of the things that soldiers and airmen that are able to perform countless duties, they're adaptable to be able to move into situations. I think some of the things that we're already looking at is the potential to help out with prison security would be one thing. The ability to deliver priority goods, specifically I'm thinking food at this time, but it could be helping with other things, making sure that our first responders are backed up, because we're going to see firefighters, police, EMTs that will be quarantined, that will be pulled off. They need to stay in that. So we've asked the president, I am part of I'm the lead on the Council of Governors, which is 10 of the nation's 50 governors that are on a council appointed by the president that deals with national security and National Guard issues. And I led with my other nine Council of Governors folks to ask the president to allow our Guard to stay in Title 32 status. That means that the state is in charge, that I am the commander in chief. But to allow the federal government, there's a provision called 502F that allows the federal government to pay them. We don't want them federalized under Title 10, which means they go to the Army. We want them to stay here under our control. But this is a way that the state, or that the federal government, can really help the state by paying the cost of that. So the Guard is at the ready. They are equipped. They are trained. They are the most efficient force that we've ever had, and they're ready to go.
Governor, I know I'll let you go in a minute here. I know the last time we talked, you were very concerned about our health workers here in the state of Minnesota, as you are now. Is there any chance that, and maybe they've done it already, I don't know, that retired doctors and healthcare workers will be asked if they could come back and help?
Yeah, I think that is certainly there, and we're already exploring those possibilities. I do have concern for them because I think most people are following the story. And I want to make note what John Rash was saying. The media is critical, too, and we'll actually look at something at that of making them, you know, a priority along with firefighters and first responders. This is the way that the people are getting their accurate information. And I think as we look across of who can help on this, bringing back some of those retired folks as we talk to them really makes sense, because now people know what the real threat with this is the overwhelming of the system, which means when people get sick, there will not be a bed, there will not be a ventilator, and there might not be a doctor. And then you have those horrific scenes of people in the hallways on makeshift cots, not getting treatment. And we're hearing from folks, and my colleague John Bell Edwards down in Louisiana said yesterday, he thinks that they could be overwhelmed within a week, and they are on the front end of this. So I keep reminding people, if these measures seem drastic, this is all about flattening that curve and not having that rush on the hospitals, because projections are terrifying if that happens in terms of the overwhelming crush on the system. We're in constant contact. I'll be on with the healthcare CEOs here in just a short amount of time across the state. They have been great partners. We're taking their advice. We are now, and again, the decision yesterday to suspend elective surgeries. The reason for that is to be just quite honest that the nation, and Minnesota is no different, is facing a shortage of personal protective equipment, not just the bodies to do it, but the equipment to be able to do it. And what that does is it makes sure all that equipment is ready to go to treat this situation. So this is going to be a challenge. It's going to need to be coordinated. The good news is with Minnesota, we have probably the most integrated healthcare system of the 50 states. We have some of the best research, and we also have companies like Ecolab in our backyard that are really good at stopping the spread of disease, and we're drawing upon all of them.
Governor, I appreciate your leadership. We'll look forward to the 2 o'clock press conference later today, and we'll be there covering it. Thank you for taking the time this morning, as always.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.